Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Visions of the Past, a show that brings you news and discoveries from around the world and how it relates to paganism. Now here's your host, William Brigley.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for tuning in. You know, it's always good to be here with you each and every week to bring you the facts regarding our history. Keep in mind, if you do miss the show, I do host an archive of each episode on our website at www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org, as well post the links on our show's Facebook pages. For our new listeners out there, we're also on iTunes. Yes, you can download your favorite episodes to your mobile device and take them everywhere you go. Again, if you like the topics, please let your friends know. And remember, the music we play is also donated by the artists themselves. So if you like what you hear, please try to support them any way you can. And if you have any comments, ideas, or suggestions for upcoming shows, I'd like to hear them. So you can post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page, and I will respond to them. And as usual, my intent on the show is to encourage people to conduct self-research from reliable sources, and most of all, become aware of the true stories of our ancestors. As for tonight's topic, we're traveling to the home of the giant pandas, the Great Wall, and the Terracotta Army. Tonight, we are going to China. China is the most populated country in the world. The number of people residing in the country is around 1.4 billion people. The total of the world's population is approximately 7.2 billion, which means approximately one in every five people on the planet is a resident of China. With this enormous number also comes many different belief systems, past and present. In addition to this, China also has hundreds, if not thousands, of deities that have been worshipped all through its history up to present day. We begin tonight's discussion with some deities found throughout the polytheistic Tao belief systems, which Taoism, or Daoism, is a Chinese religious tradition that emphasizes living in harmony with the Tao, also romanized as Dao. The term Tao means way, path, or principle, and can also be found in Chinese philosophies and religions other than Taoism. In Taoism, however, Tao denotes something that is both the source and the driving force behind everything that exists. There are various kinds of Taoism. Some Taoism is based on the study and belief of ancient scriptures like the Tao Te Ching. Others practice native folk religion that varies from place to place. This includes ancestor worship, palm reading, or forms of divination. Some Taoists worship native or personal gods. At Taoist temples, people may worship Taoist idols that represent a historical figure, an immortal, or a folk god. Since there are so many deities contained within Taoism, tonight I will be discussing just a few. But first, before we get really too deep into it, let's hear a little Darn the Bard and his song. Let me see here. That's a good one tonight. How about Song of Awen? We'll be right back, everyone.
Spirit.
Mass with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Song of Awen, another fantastic song by Darn the Bard. Tonight's episode is The Tao and the Shaman. The first deity we are going to explore is the Jade Emperor. He is the supreme ruler of heavens and the protector of mankind according to Chinese folklore religion, and the highest ranking deity of the Taoist pantheon. From the 19th century onward, he was the patron deity of the Chinese imperial family. The Jade Emperor presides over heaven and earth, just as the earthly emperors once ruled over China. Based on one account, the Jade Emperor was originally the crown prince of the kingdom of majestic heavenly lights and ornaments. At birth, he emitted a bright light that filled the entire kingdom. When he was young, he was benevolent, intelligent, and wise. He devoted his entire childhood to helping the needy, the poor and suffering, the deserted and single, the hungry and disabled. Furthermore, he showed respect and benevolence to both men and creatures. After his father died, he ascended the throne. He made sure that everyone in his kingdom found peace and contentment. After that, he told his ministries that he wished to cultivate Tao in a mountain cave and cultivate. After 1,750 trials, each trial lasting for 120,976 years, he attained immortality. After another 100 million years of cultivation, he finally became the Jade Emperor. The Jade Emperor is usually depicted seated on a throne in imperial robes, his flat-top crown embedded with strings of pearls that dangle from around the front. He holds a short, flat tablet in his clasp in both hands before his chest. His birthday is celebrated on the ninth day of the Lunar New Year, commonly known as the Festival of the Heavenly God. It is an important festival to the Taoist and Chinese community. Taoist temples throughout the world held gathering and prayers together to worship him for such things as to grant peace, prosperity, protection from calamities for the entire year, favorable weather conditions, and an abundant harvest. Following the Jade Emperor, we have Jiu Tan Yun Nu of the Ninth Heaven. She is a powerful Taoist deity who taught the Yellow Emperor, who ruled between 2698 to 2598 BCE, and gave him esoteric texts on military arts that helped him win a cosmic battle. She also gave him texts on alchemy and immortality. She is also known as the Feng Shui goddess, who brought knowledge of Feng Shui to the Yellow Emperor. She is an important figure in Feng Shui theory. Practitioners today, which frequently employ status of the mysterious woman of the ninth heaven. This immortal is sometimes called the goddess of the nine heavens. In Taoism, there are nine layers of heaven and layers of the underworld. The mysterious woman's birthday is celebrated on the 15th day of the second month on the Chinese lunar calendar. Believers will burn incense and pay their respects in Taoist temples, and there are quite a few of these in China and several in Shanghai. Ceremonies include chanting and Taoist music. The Taoist religion has many deities and immortals, including many powerful women who taught male rulers, came to their assistance, and were worshipped by them. Though in severe disrepair, an old Nine Heavens Goddess Temple is still located at about 20 kilometers to the northeast of Jixian County in North China's Shaanxi Province. The old temple has been repaired many times in the past. However, it has been neglected for a long time. Next, we have the Song Dynasty. This is from 960 to 1279 CE, which saw the beginning of the Mazu worship. The great goddess Mazu is the most worshipped sea goddess in all of China's coastal areas, especially in around the southeast region and Taiwan Islands. Many people in China's southeastern coastal areas and Taiwan Island earn a living through fishing. Because of well-known dangerous, turbulent sea conditions, fishermen created a sea goddess for blessing and protection. The goddess Meizu, which is also known as Heavenly Queen. Every year on the 23rd day of the third lunar month, which is said to be the birthday of Mazu, fishermen go to the Mazu temple to worship the goddess instead of going fishing on the sea. The image of Mazu is a kind-looking lady wearing a crown and a dragon robe. On the Mazu festival, some middle-aged and elderly women dress up in traditional style by wearing a flat hair coil, red coat, and black pants. These devout women burn incense to pay tribute to Mazu. Her name, Moni Yang, means silent girl because she didn't cry at birth. In her early teens, she began to burn incense and chant sutras. At the age of 16, she was given a bronze talisman by an immortal, and she then achieved Taoist success and became an immortal herself. She performed a lot of magical feats. At 28, she ascended Meifeng Peak, where she became a divinity. After that, Moni Yang roamed about the country rescuing and helping fishermen in distress at sea. Local fishermen built a temple in Monyang's hometown, Meizhou Island, to pay respect to her, and she was honored as Meizhou. Today, there are over 2,500 temples dedicated to the goddess Meizhou worldwide. Before moving on to more fascinating deities, let's take a break to hear a little Jenna Green and her song, Phoenix. We'll be right back, everybody.
Visions of the Past with William Wrigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Jenna Green and her song, Phoenix. Moving on to our next deity is the Queen Mother of the West. One of the oldest deities of China is Sai Wang Mu. She lives in the Kunlun Mountains in the far west at the margin of heaven and earth. In a garden hidden by high clouds, her peaches of immortality grow on a colossal tree, only ripening once every 3,000 years. The tree is a cosmic axis that connects heaven and earth, a ladder traveled by spirits and shamans. Sai Wang Mu controls the cosmic forces, time and space, and the pivotal Great Dipper constellation. With her powers of creation and destruction, she ordains life and death, disease and healing, and determines the lifespans of all living things. The energies of new growth surround her like a cloud. She is attended by hosts of spirits and transcendentals. She presides over the dead and afterlife and confers divine realization and immortality on spiritual seekers. The elders' reference to Sai Wang Mu is an oracle bone inscription from the Shang Dynasty 33 centuries ago. It reads, "If we make offering to the Eastern Mother and Western Mother, there will be approval." For those interested, there's an interesting article posted in the Shanghai Daily News regarding the Queen Mother of the West. I will post a link to this on my Facebook page after the show. I mentioned oracle bone inscriptions. These were written during the Shang Dynasty, which ran from 1554 to about 1040 to 1045 BCE. The Shang people practice what we understand to be divination by boring a series of pits into either a tortoise plastron, the bottom part of the tortoise shell, or a cattle scapula. A hot bronze rod was applied, producing cracks, which were interpreted as answers to questions, often expressed as a pair two possible outcomes that the king and or his diviner had possessed. Sometimes the questions, a record of the divination, and occasionally even a record of the actual outcome were inscribed on the plastron or scapula. Through such divinations, the Shang hoped to discover the causes of events, the will of their ancestors, and of their highest deity, and the correct course of action to take when faced with difficult decisions. Discovered and translated, beginning only in 1899, oracle bones are the earliest written records of Chinese civilization. Up next is Tao Mu, or also known as the Goddess of the North Star. She is worshipped by both Buddhists and Taoists. From a Taoist perspective, She is a stellar deity. One story is that Madame Zi Guang went to the Imperial Garden for sightseeing. She was captivated by the hot spring water next to the lotus and took a bath there. Miraculously, 9 lotus buds appeared, and after a while, the lotus blossomed and came out 9 infants. After these 9 children grew up, the eldest son, Go Cheng Yang, became one of the heavenly gods named North Star. The rest of the brothers were Tang Lang, Zhu Men, Liu Kang, Wei Ku, Lian Zhen, Wu Ku, and Pu Jun are the group of stars known as the Big Dipper 7 stars. This is one example of incorporating divinity into astronomy. And we are going to take another short break, but when we return, we'll discuss various Chinese masks and their functions in ritual spirituality and public performances. So for now, let's hear a song by Tuathadeya called Dance of the Tufa. Stay with us, everyone. Thank you.
Mass with William Brigley on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for listening. And now, back to William.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Dance of the Tusa by Tuatha Dea. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in, and to those who choose to listen to the archive. Whether during the show or in the archive, I'd love to see your comments on this topic and any others I've discussed. Like usual, I will be including links to the sites that I've obtained my information from, so if you're interested, you'll be able to view the research on my Facebook page. For a complete lineup of the shows airing on the network and to learn more about our hosts, visit www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. We also have Reverend Terry's website at revterrypowerhp.com. And our shows airing throughout the week are as follows. On Tuesdays, we have Reverend Terry's Power Hours. On Thursdays, we have Under a Shady Tree. On Friday, we have Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health. On Sunday, we have Sacred Divergence Radio. And on Monday, you're back with me for another episode of Visions of the Past. As I mentioned before the break, China has had a rich and colorful cultural history, and Mass have played a major role in Chinese traditions for thousands of years. Chinese Mass, depending on their function, are divided into several different categories, such as sorcerer's masks, Tibetan masks, shaman masks, and theatrical masks. Yes, that's right. Shamanistic practices can be found throughout China as well. Earliest Chinese masks were made about 3,500 years ago as part of shamanistic practices or religious healing. Masks have played a role in many rituals, such as worshiping the god that destroys pestilence and grants blessings. They also have a long history in the arts, particularly dance and opera. Today, masks continue to be worn for religious ceremonies, life events such as weddings and funerals, and world-renowned cultural events. Chinese masks, which are either made of wood or painted on faces, are donned either on a person's head or face. Sorcerer's masks from the Yunnan or Guizhou provinces were worn to welcome the god of fortune or to soothe the soul when someone had died. A number of different ethnic groups come from the Yunnan or Guizhou. Their cultures incorporated totem worship and sorcerer rituals. Some of these societies are the Jingpu, Wa, Zhengyang, Jin'o, Bai, and Dai. About 1,000 years ago, in the central plains of China, cultures used masks for exorcising or driving away evil spirits. The masks were also worn to celebrate births and to keep homes safe by scaring evil ghosts. This culture, located in the southern portions of the Yangtze River, was combined exorcism along with totem worship. This tradition much later evolved into operatic productions that were very popular with the army because they praised the military. We do know that shamans did exist in ancient China. In fact, a discovery of what was presumed to be a tomb of a shaman was discovered back in 2003 along the Injiang trade routes in northwest China. Injiang was a crossroads town where people from all over came, traded, and mixed with each other 2,800 years ago. What makes this find very interesting is that within the tomb was a leather basket, and off to the right side of the shaman's head, which contained 789 grams of finely ground cannabis powder. The mummy remains intact in its original outfit despite the passage of time. Leather hat, heavy coat and boots, huge earrings of copper and gold, a turquoise necklace, a copper lace stick in the right hand, and a bronze axe in the left. According to Li Yeo, head of the Heritage Bureau in Turpan. Inside the leather coat, the man was wearing a dainty brown and red mantle, and his hands were crossed in front of his chest. From his outfit and the marijuana leaves, which have been confirmed by international specialists to be ingredients for narcotic, it's assumed that the man had been a shaman and had been between 40 and 50 years old when he died. A research paper published in the Journal of Experimental Botany states that the cannabis was cultivated for psychoactive purposes rather than as fiber for clothing or food. This would certainly match the practices of utilizing hallucinogens by early shamans. The fabrics from the mummy's clothes will be studied further in depth in hopes to identify the mummy and unravel more mysteries of shaman clothing, culture, and religion. Of the 2,000 tombs unearthed at this site, at least a dozen are believed to be that of shamans. For more information on this discovery, I will include a reference with the archive of the show and on my Facebook page. Shamanism used to be common in many parts of northern China, and as within many other cultures, they were believed to be able to communicate with the gods and conjure up the dead. To add to the history of shamanism in ancient China, another discovery was made that contained signs carved into 8,600-year-old tortoise shells found in Jiahu in Henan province, western China, which may turn out to be the earliest written words. Tickler site has been radiocarbon dated to be between 6,600 and 6,200 BCE. The research itself was carried out by Dr. Garmin Harbottle of the Brookhaven National Laboratory in New York and a team of archaeologists at the University of Science and Technology of China in Anhui Province. The Neolithic markings include symbols that resemble the characters for eye and window and the numerals 8 and 20 in script from the Shang Dynasty era I mentioned earlier in the show. Dr. Harbottle further points to similar signs used at different sites along the Yellow River throughout the Neolithic and up to the Shang period, when a complex writing system appears. The Jiahu researchers proposed that the shells once contained pebbles that were found near many of the shells and were used as musical rattles in shamanistic rituals. The shells come from graves where, in 1999, the researchers unearthed ancient bone flutes. These flutes are the earliest musical instruments known to date. What is certain is that the shaman is a mysterious figure found throughout the world within numerous cultures, and that everything about them, from their rituals, their paintings, carvings, to their clothes, writings, states of consciousness, and instruments fascinate us to this day. After the show, I will include a link to a fascinating free online ebook called The Nine Songs, which is a study of shamanism in ancient China. Trust me, it is a very interesting read. And that is everything I have for you tonight, folks. And I hope you enjoyed the show and decide to tune in for next week's episode. Again, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, please feel free to post them on my Visions of the Past Facebook page. And we are going to finish things off tonight with a little Dragon Ritual Drummers and their song, Tuatha De Danann. Good night, everyone. And until next time, may you blessed be.
for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.